Understand, I printed this in three versions. It's a short verse, but I printed it in three different versions. One, the Voice, and then the Easy to Read, and then the Message. And the scripture goes like this. Psalm 43, verse 5. And I really brought these three because it really helps us to better understand when you can talk to your mind. Your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, your feelings, all the five physical senses that absolutely will get in the way and try to block our faith from working. It'll set itself up like a stronghold in the mind that will keep you from entering into the good things that God has for you. That's if you allow it to. And it says, I'm going to do the voice first. Oh, my soul, why are you so overwrought? Why are you so disturbed? Why can't I just hope in God despite all my emotions? I will hope in God again. I will believe and praise the one who saves me and is my life, my Savior, and my God. And I so love the way that is written, because your soul, David, when David wrote, he, Psalm 103 is another one. Sometimes we use it in communion. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And your soul is your mind. It's your thinking, and Joyce Myers sometimes calls it stinking thinking, because our minds can be entertained with thoughts that are going to rob us of many of the blessings we could have in the quality of life, because every time the Lord wants to bless you, your mind can cough up a reason why, oh, I'm not worthy of that, and just get into a funk. The phrase down in the dumps comes to me. But now back to the rubbish deal. That's where it goes. Take it to the dump. Or we, in our hippy-dippy-dope days, we used to call it being bummed out. It was just a phrase that came out of the 60s, if you will. And you get into that kind of mindset and that thinking. And we know what the word says, but there's just something in our mind that just puts up a block to that, like, oh. Oh, if I could just believe that. Oh, if I could just... It's one thing to believe it. It's another to receive it for you, because you can easily believe that for somebody else. But when it comes down to you, can you believe that? Can you receive that? Why are you so disturbed? Why can't I just hope in God? Because the mind, the soul, the will, the feelings, the emotions, all that stuff gets in the way. You got to remember one thing. Our mind used to be God before we got saved. Our mind, the brain, it controlled everything. And you know what? When Jesus moved into that temple, guess what? The mind didn't like the new God that took its place. And now all the rest of our life, there's a spiritual warfare going on between the mind and the Spirit of the living God. Ask Paul. If you read Romans, heads up, that's going to be our next Bible study when we're done with the Holy Spirit. A good look at the book of Romans. And the struggle that Paul had, his mind and his thoughts were always at war with the Spirit. And that's, see, there was no war before we got saved, because we were of the same mind as the world. So there was no struggle. We were just all part of it. But then God Jr. has to take a second seat now, or the back seat. And David had a lot of reasons to be encouraged and anointed and called of the Lord as he was, but he also had struggles and turmoils in his life. If you really read some of his personal life, you'll find that that was a battle. The difference is, the anointing of God and the call of God was on his life, but the Spirit of God did not dwell in him. That's a major difference between the old covenant relationship with God and the new covenant relationship. The Holy Spirit would come upon and empower certain ones to do God's bidding, if you will. But in the new covenant, that spirit that led them from outside now leads us from inside. So the battle has moved inside now. Warfare sets up between the mind, and a lot of times it's people's emotions. They can get so caught up on having pity parties or just feeling sorry for oneself, and just, and sometimes even life can be discouraging. And you all know that's very true. And so David says, why can't I just hope in God? Why do I have to deal with all this crap all off to the side? Why do I have to deal with my mind? Well, that's why we're told to renew our minds to the Word, so that the mind and the Word becomes one, so that we become what the Word says we already are. And sometimes a person will wait all their life not catching that. Why don't we just be who the Word says we are? If the Word says we're righteous, why not just be? If the Word says that we have His peace, why not just be at peace? See, we make more of a deal out of that than we really need to. When you realize who you are and who He is in you, you're going to find that some of the battles in your life that you're dealing with are going to get less intensity, because you learn how to bring them into subjection to Christ. Jesus is the jailer of bad thoughts. And you can change what you're thinking just that quick. It just depends on who calls you on the phone or who you call on the phone. And you'll find that the person who's ready to rip your head off is, oh, praise the Lord. And it's so fast. But we have to practice these things. And when you come to realize and start, like that first song, I just speak the name of Jesus. When your mind's in a turmoil, when it's got you off on a rabbit trail someplace, and at that time, you're thinking about that and you're not thinking about the one who delivered you from the rabbit trail. And that's what David is trying to get us to see. Let's read the easy-to-read version now. Why am I so sad? Why am I so upset? I tell myself, wait for God's help. You will again have a chance to praise Him. Your God, the one who will save you. Sometimes people can get into a funk and it's really, really hard to even think about praising the Lord when we're in that mindset. Because the mind, even though it's subject to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and your spirit, which is now brand new, made in the image of Christ. That's why I call it God Jr., because it always was like God in the sense that it always spoke, and every time it spoke, we jumped to attention to follow our thoughts. But now it has a new boss. It has a new Lord. And so it's in those times that you can come to your senses and come back to your right mind in Christ and begin to, sometimes you have to speak words into your life. Speak words into your future. Speak words into your job place, your workplace. Speak life into those things. And it becomes a lifestyle. It's not just picking up our Bibles and reading together for an hour on Sunday. This is a lifestyle. It's a way of life. And if the writers of the Scriptures had issues with their minds at times dominating them and pulling them into a cave or a dark place, how could we say that we're any greater than they were? Because these things are common to all of us. Unsaved people just can't get out of it. That's why they do drugs. Some legal, some prescribed. Some that are not legal. Because they don't have any way of coping. They can't get that monkey off their back. But we, of all people, should be able to catch ourselves. Whoa, we're not going there. And tell your mind, hey mind, we ain't going there. In the name of Jesus, you're going to praise the Lord. And I know people think we're crazy when they hear us, when we tell people we talk to ourselves, but sometimes you're the only one that can have an intelligent conversation with yourself. So you have to entertain that from time to time. And don't let people talk you out of it. Speak in tongues, that'll mess up their head. Give us a chance to prove how crazy we really are to the world. And the message. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? See, your soul, the soulish realm, is the five physical senses, all the emotions combined. And when they all get together and gang up on you, you've got some warfare going on. And so, why are you crying the blues? Oh my, somebody brought a version of The House in New Orleans. Made it a bluesy song, but Jesus became the rock in the lyrics of that song to take you out of the blues, to take you out of that thinking. And so I know this isn't a long scripture, but gosh, it's so helpful. Not everybody has a day that's good all day long, and you deal with things. But he said, fix my eyes on God. I remember when Jesus talked about praying, he talked about looking up. Oh, look up to the Lord for whom your redemption draws near. So sometimes when you pray, it's okay to have your eyes open. We get religious and we close them because we're closing out the world, of course. But when you look to the Lord, fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. So you see, don't let your mind wreck your whole day. Only if you want to. But you can do something about it. He puts a smile on my... Oh, soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. The old English talks about he's something about your countenance. It's your appearance. People can tell you're not having a good day because it's written all over our faces. You know, we can put the happy church face on, but really inside, sometimes it isn't happy. But he puts a smile on our face when we think about his goodness to us and all the times we've called upon him, all the times we prayed for others and seen how that's changed their lives. And know that there are people praying for you. And even in your darkest time, there are people praying for you. I can give you 100% certainty of that. There are people praying for you. So just jump in. Jump in on the praise wagon and give it all you got. Because if we can go to a stock car race, or we can go to a football game, or we can go to any sporting event, and the people in the stands are just roaring with their jubilance and excitement, surely we can get past whatever's bugging us today and just be free today to enter into his praise and his worship and experience how good he really is. Not only individually in our home, but when we come together. Boy, that's such a joyful time. Because y'all have the right heart for that. And I've seen that over the years. This is a very special place because God has raised up his beloveds to be here together. I believe that he's placed us all here, even the one that just came in the parking lot. And they're just in time for Huggy Break. What a great time to show up. They're not late, eh, Ben?